Well, we're only days away, right? Pretty soon it's going to be Christmas Eve, and it's going to be Christmas Day. We've been talking a lot about gifts these past few weeks, so I thought I'd check in with you. How's it going? How you doing? Do you have all of your shopping done? Got all the gifts bought that you need to buy? Not so in our household. No, I've got one more trip out. Okay, it's my only trip out, but I'm going to make it tomorrow, right? Me and the four daughters, we're going to go out. We're going to find something for Michelle, right? Try and find the right thing. Then we'll have a little dinner together. Then come home, and then I'll be done. Of course, that's not the end of it, though, right? Because once you buy the gifts, now you have to worry, did you get the right gifts, right? So you're hoping, right? You're hoping that the clothes fit, right? You're hoping that she loves the toaster you got her, right? You're hoping that the kids will play with the toys more than, like, say, 5 minutes or so, right? You're hoping everything. Odds are in your favor. I just found out that really only 1 in 10 gifts get returned the next day. So you got a 90% chance of doing pretty well, right? Now, if you want to hedge your bet just a little bit more, the number one gift that always gets returned is clothing and shoes. The least returned gift, fellas, you might want to pay attention if you haven't gotten her anything yet. The least returned gift is jewelry. Right? You always go well with jewelry, right? All right? Least returned gift. So, all right? So you don't have to have too much, you know, anxiety going in, but there's still a little, right? You're hoping that it's the right gift. Can I suggest, in addition to giving those gifts and hoping it's the right gift, that you also give the gift of hope? We've been talking about different kinds of gifts the past few weeks. We've been calling them the gifts of Christmas, right? So the true gifts of Christmas, which really the gift of Christmas is God's Son, but that gift has multifacets to it, right? And so these are gifts that don't come with price tags, but nonetheless, they are priceless. And what I'd suggest to you today as we're wrapping everything up is that the gift to give is the gift of hope. Now, you look at hope. Hope is defined this way. The hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. That's the dictionary version of it. I would add to that, it has a positive spin to it, right? So you're expecting something good. You're looking forward to something favorable. In other words, hope doesn't mean that you have an expectation of doom or gloom, right? And that's not what hope is. Hope is something you look forward to. So you're anticipating. You're expecting, at least some of you, that you're going to have a wonderful Christmas. It's going to be a great celebration in your home. You're hoping for that. But the problem is not all of you are. Not everybody is filled with hope at Christmas time. In fact, more than we want to admit, people are filled with hopelessness. They really don't have anything to look forward to. So while some of us are counting the hours until Christmas is here, others are pounding out the minutes until it's finally gone and done with for another year. What I'm saying is many people, they need the gift of hope. Because to be honest, there's a lot of holiday hurting going on. I'm not sure why, but study after study has shown the time between Thanksgiving and the first part of the year is a time when it sort of rises the anxiety of some people. It's when people get the holiday blues. It's when they feel lonely. It's when they get depressed, when they feel sullen. It rises during that time. In fact, there's actually an uptick of people going to the emergency room complaining of physical ailments, but really the cause of it is more emotional things that are happening to them than really physical things that are happening to them. And it all seems to be centered around this time of year. There's a number of stressors that sort of cause it. The number one stress is loneliness. It's separation from people that you know and love. So maybe it's family that's hundreds or thousands of miles away and you won't be seeing them this year. Or maybe it's because there's a conflict in the family. And because of that conflict, it's so severe that you won't be seeing that family member. You won't be seeing that close friend. And then finally, it's just because people have passed away and they've gone to heaven and you won't be spending time with them. So the number one stressor for people feeling low and down without hope is loneliness, isolation, right? The second stressor is expectations. Now, we laugh about it and we joke about it, but the reality is we have lots of expectations, and most of us, at least, we try and meet those expectations, right? So, for instance, one expectation is everybody's happy, right? You all came in here, well, most of you came in here with smiles on your faces, right? And most of you will leave with smiles on your faces, right? If somebody comes up to you and shakes your hand and says, how are you? You'll give the perfunctory, I'm great, how about you? Inside, you're dying, mind you. I'm great, how are you? You're going to have a good Christmas? Oh, I'm going to have a wonderful Christmas. Inside, you're saying, no, it's going to be a crappy Christmas. It's going to be awful, right? Because we put on this mask, because there's an expectation that everybody's happy, everybody's in a great mood at Christmas time. Right? And then we have expectations of gifts, we have expectations of home cooking, we have expectations of decorating, you name it, right? Nobody can live up to all the expectations. And even though cognitively we know that, we don't believe it because we keep trying. And some people buckle under the pressure. They can't stand the pressure of all the expectations of this time of year. The third stressor is the loss of a loved one. It's grieving. I can't explain why, and I don't know why, but grief during this time of year is more intense. Whether you lost a loved one this past year, 5 years, 15, 20 years ago, I would say probably the closer to now, the more intense the grief is, but it's there all the same. Example, I lost my mom in 87. It's kind of a long time ago, right? And yet, every year, when we get out the Christmas tree and we get out the ornaments, when I pull out her ornaments and I put them on the tree, the family knows, leave Dad alone. He's going to be quiet for a few minutes because I miss her. And it just sort of hits hard this time of year. So there's lots of stressors that cause us to not feel all that happy and jolly at Christmas time. And instead of being filled with hope, we're filled with hopelessness. Instead of having a holiday hope, we have holiday hopelessness that overcomes us. Instead of an anticipation and an expectation of something favorable happening, we can't really see anything good happening. And frankly, we'll be happy when we pack everything up and we don't see any more Christmas lights and we don't hear any more holiday music and we can just get back to life as normal. There's a good number of people that need the gift of hope. The good news is that the gift of Christmas is also the gift of hope. I mean, the gift of Christmas is God's Son. The gift of Christmas is Jesus, that God comes and takes on flesh and blood, and he lives for us, and he dies for us, and he rises again. But of that gift of Christmas, there are many aspects of it. It's multifaceted, and one of the gifts is the gift of hope, because God gives us the gift of hope. He gave us the gift of hope even before Jesus was born, some 700 years before he was born, speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Take a look at chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 1. Now, chapter 8 is not a pleasant chapter, all of it. There's a lot of gloom and doom. God's people at this time were under tremendous pressure. There was the threat of foreign invasion on more than one of their borders. They had a king who did evil in the sight of God. Things were not looking well for the people of God. There was hopelessness throughout the land. He starts out chapter 9 this way. Nevertheless, no matter what the circumstances might look like, no matter how bleak the outlook may be, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. That's a promise of God. There'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. He goes a little bit deeper in verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. If you feel like you're walking around in a cloud, if you feel like you're just trying to find your way through the darkness and stumbling through life right now, God says, a light will dawn. A light is coming. He gets down to it in verse 6. He says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. They didn't know it then, but we know it now. We know who that child is. It is the child of God. It is the Son of God. It is born of Mary. It is the Son of God taking on flesh and blood and becoming Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Well, what about this child that's going to be born? He says this, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the hope that God gives. He'll be called Mighty God. In other words, no matter what trouble you may have, no matter what problem you may have, there is a God who is stronger. There is a God who is mightier, that can overcome anything in your life. He's Wonderful Counselor. He became one of us. He can empathize with everything that you're going through because he was a human being, and he knows all of our vast array of emotions. He knows all the life experiences that we have. He is the Wonderful Counselor who has an open ear for you to pour your heart out to him. He's the Prince of Peace, which means he can calm your troubled soul. Scripture says that the peace that he brings, it's beyond understanding. It's the gift of Christmas. It's the gift of hope that was delivered in God's Son, Jesus. And as we gather here this morning, I can't help but wonder, who of you really needs the gift of hope this morning? It's really hard to tell. I mean, it's extremely hard to know who the recipients are because we go back to that whole masquerade that we do. We all put on our masks to one degree or the other, and we all look like we're having the time of our life and that this is just the greatest Christmas ever. And yet you know and I know that's not true. And I just wonder, how many of you need the gift of hope this morning? And what I worry about, and actually is a legitimate fear that I have, is that you've heard the wrong message when you've come here to God's house. And that message is that you're not feeling happy, and you're feeling sad, and you're feeling depressed. And so you hear, well, if you just believed a little bit more, if you focus just a little bit more on the true meaning of Christmas, well, then you'd have joy in your heart, and you wouldn't feel sad right now, and you wouldn't be down right now. That is not the message I want you to hear. In fact, I think that's the work of the devil, because he wants to add to your grief guilt on top of it, and that is not the point at all. The gift of hope. The gift of hope has three aspects to it, I think, right now today. And the first one is this, it's the gift of acceptance. What I mean by that is God accepts you for who you are and where you are right here, right now, this moment. However you're feeling, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling happy, if you're feeling somewhere in between, if you're feeling depressed, if you can't wait for Christmas to be over, or you can't wait for Christmas Day to be here, God accepts you right here where you are right now. God understands that we have a wide range of emotions. He created us that way. He created us as emotional beings that experience everything from deep sadness to overflowing joy. And he expects and anticipates that we'll experience all of those emotions at some time in our life. Don't believe me? Look at David. David from the Old Testament, on more than one occasion, it's declared that David was a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Read the Psalms. You'll get the gamut of all of human emotion there. There are times that he's frustrated. There's times that he's angry. There are times that he is sorrowful. There's times that he has deep regret. There are times when he just pours his heart out to God in the words of the Psalms. And God accepts him. A man after God's own heart. The gift of hope says to you that no matter what you're feeling right now, you can come to God and be honest with him. In fact, the first step to having a glimmer of hope is to be honest with yourself and to be honest with God and to say, God, I don't feel like celebrating Christmas. God, I just want it to be over. God, I'm lonely. God, I'm, I'm missing my loved one. And then God gives you the other aspect of hope, and that's the gift of presence, that he's there with you. Not only does he accept you where you're at, but he's with you. The promise of Scripture says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God was so serious about that, that God sent his Son to become one of us. He took on flesh and blood to become one of his own creation to demonstrate his commitment to us and that he would be with us always. In fact, that's what Jesus said just before he went up into heaven. He says, behold, I am with you until the very end of time. He ascended bodily, but he says that his presence is with us here and now. God accepts you where you're at. He has an open ear, and he wants to tell you that you're not alone. One of the culprits of feeling low, of having a holiday blues or depression, is isolation and feeling like there is no one else. God says that he's with you every moment of every day, that you are never alone. He gives you the gift of presence. And then he gives you the gift of the present, the here and the now. So oftentimes we live in the past, and sometimes we spiral down into depression and feeling low and feeling empty inside because we dwell on the past, things that we wish we had done and we didn't do, other things that we did do and we regret deeply, things that haven't been said, things that should have been said, things that, while we shouldn't have said, and we can just keep replaying those scenarios in our minds again and again and get sucked in to the past. There's a lot of regret. There's a lot of remorse. There's a lot of guilt going around, and that sucks us in this time of year. God says he gives you the gift of the present, the here and now. He declared in Scripture, he says, I will remember your sins no more. Not that he's forgetful, remember. He says, no, I choose not to remember your sins anymore. I choose not to remember your sins anymore because justice has been served, because the babe that was born in Bethlehem is the Son of God who lived the perfect life, and yet he absorbed the cost of all of our sin. He paid the debt of all of our sin on the cross so that we could be released from the past, so that we could be released from the regret and the remorse and the guilt. It isn't that we don't remember the past. Sure we do, but we don't dwell on the past, and we don't get drugged down by the past because God has released you from that. He gives you the gift of the present, the right here and now, and the blessings that you have in your life. And he gives you the gift of a future. And I'm not talking just heaven. I'm talking about here and now, that God still has plans for you, and God still has a future for you. He wants to give you hope, an expectation, anticipation that there is something to look forward to. It's the gift of Christmas. It's the gift of hope. Do you have someone in your life that needs the gift of hope? Someone that you can share that gift with them? I know they're hard to find, but look for the clues. Someone who's lost a close person to them lately. Maybe someone who's lost a job, maybe going through transition. Maybe they got relationship issues that are going on. Can you just reach out to them? And let them know that you accept them right where they're at, just like God does. They don't have to pretend in front of you. If they want to be sad, they can be sad. If they want to cry, they can cry. You can just give them the gift of your presence and just be with them. And maybe just even sit quiet. And perhaps if the opportunity arises, you can remind them of the present blessings that God has showered upon them, and the promise that God says that they have a future. Can you give them the gift of hope? Of all the gifts that we'll exchange, and I'm all for it, it's part of our celebration, the giving and receiving of gifts. But above and beyond the presents underneath the tree, this year let's give some gifts that don't have a price tag, but are nonetheless priceless. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we thank you for the gift of Christmas. It is the gift of your Son. And that gift has so many dimensions to it. This morning we specifically praise and thank you for the gift of hope, the anticipation, the expectation of something favorable happening in the future. But Father, I pray for those who feel hopeless right now. I'm certain that some have gathered here this morning. I pray that you would let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you accept them right here, right now, no matter what they're feeling, that they can share that with you, that you'd give them the gift of your presence, that they would know in a very strong and real way that you are with them, and that you'd give them the gift of the present, to know the blessings that they have right now. And even though they may not be looking forward to Christmas, I just pray that you would give them the gift of hope in their heart. In your Son's name, we pray. Amen.